This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, episode number 758, 758, as we get closer and closer to episode number 1,000. Yes, it won't be long, folks. It won't be long. With three episodes per week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, thank you so much for joining me. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and glad to have you here. And it is the end of Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I hope this was a great reminder for us all to be grateful and thankful. Are those the same thing, grateful and thankful? Not exactly, are they? But anyway, yes, it's a good reminder at least once a year to remember that it is an amazing time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. You know, I was just leaving the shopping mall here in Las Vegas. And you know, I guess this is as good a time to, as any to formally announce my move to Las Vegas. Yes, yes, I know. It's kind of weird. I've been spending a lot of time here. So I'll tell you about that in a moment. But here's why it's an amazing time to be alive. I was just leaving one place and coming to another, and the car was chauffeuring me. It was driving me. I mean, do you realize how incredible that is? Really, the game-changing concept that will change real estate investing, that will change so many things in our lives. The self-driving car, a total game changer. It just never ceases to amaze me how this technology is going to change the world radically. It is huge. Of course, there are many other amazing reasons to think it's an amazing time to be alive. 3D printing, biotech, nanotech, all of the rest. I mean, wait till we start rolling out that amazing new material called graphene and how it will change everything and make everything light and high tech and strong and incredible. So it's an amazing time to be alive, a lot to be thankful for. Definitely, definitely, definitely. So today our guest will be talking to us about financing your properties with private equity. Yes, private equity financing. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And our guest speaker attended our last event in Phoenix when we talked about technology and real estate investing and some of those implications there and how to use software in our real estate investing business. But he will also be at our upcoming Meet the Masters event. And a lot of you have been registering like crazy, even though I only mentioned it once on the podcast. Yes, we actually have booked Meet the Masters, our annual event, our big annual event. I believe this will be our 19th Meet the Masters. Now, why don't I exactly know? Because we haven't been doing this for 19 years. No, I haven't been doing it that long. We used to do this event twice a year. Now we only do it once a year. So the count is a little bit screwy. But yes, Meet the Masters is coming up in January. Go to jasonhartman.com, click on events at jasonhartman.com, get your tickets. Early bird pricing just went up a little bit, but it's still pretty darn good. By the way, if some of you are thinking, what happened to the pricing of this event from several years ago? Well, I will tell you. It's called inflation, my dear listener. Yes, inflation. Hotel prices have been skyrocketing. Carrie, who many of you know and have met, she's been on the podcast, she's on our team. I'm so thankful for her help in planning this event. And she is just as amazed as am I about the hotel prices and how they have skyrocketed. The food and beverage minimums, the room rates, everything has just gone up, 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 up in recent years. So these events are much more expensive to do than they ever have been, really. So if you're thinking, well, why aren't you selling Meet the Masters tickets for $397 anymore? Well, because factoring into that is the inflationary pressure of hotel pricing for meetings and conventions. So that is a huge impact on our business, and it's made a big difference in the price of these events. So just understand that. And what does Trump mean for us as real estate investors? What does it mean for the economy? What does it mean for markets overall? Well, we've had a few guests on the show discussing Trumponomics, I guess we'll call it. I am more and more convinced that Mr. Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, although being very good news in many ways, because at the very least, we have a president who appears to be pretty direct and blunt. And yeah, I know, I called him a buffoon before. I stand by that remark. He's a bit of a buffoon. I mean, why would he say such stupid things? You know, to be direct and blunt and honest, you don't need to offend everybody. But hey, maybe that's part of the strategy. This is above my pay grade, and I don't understand how it all works. But enough of that Trump commentary. I think Trump is inflationary. If we become more protectionist in our trade policies, which that is the direction it's going, that is going to bring inflationary pressure for sure. So as we've talked about with my technique known as inflation-induced debt destruction, yes, the technique I pioneered, yes, yours truly, not any of those copycats you might be listening to out there, those other so-called real estate gurus. The technique I have, I talk about how inflation really is a home run to us as far as investors. But at the same time, the countervailing force is, of course, technology. With Trump, we are going to see lower energy prices. We're going to see more of an energy exporting nation in the U.S., and that's good. That's deflationary. And then, of course, technology. I think we'll see a lot more capital investment into technology. So overall, if there's more capital investment into technology, more into R&D, research and development, that is deflationary. Which one wins? I don't know. I really just do not know. These are two very powerful forces, and we will continue to monitor the situation. It's about all we can do as things roll on here. But it is an amazing time to be alive. So, Las Vegas. Las Vegas. Yes. Sin City. Well, as you may or may not know, I have never been much of a fan of Las Vegas. But I moved here. Now, why would I do that? Well, for many years, you've heard me talk about how one of my goals is to live in a no-income tax state. And when I left the Socialist Republic of California, only to come back for 7 short months to catch a tax break last year, I left basically 5 years ago. I couldn't believe when I moved from California to Arizona how much faster I could create wealth and just lowering my tax burden and lowering my cost of living. It was dramatic. It was absolutely dramatic. And so I have wanted to live in one of the many no income tax states for many years. And I have looked all around various areas of Florida. I have even considered places like Tennessee, another no-income tax state. Texas, of course, being the big one. I've considered moving to Austin. I've considered moving to Dallas. I've considered moving to Nashville. I've considered moving to Tampa, to the east coast of Florida, the west gate. I don't know. I've looked all over the place. You know, Seattle, beautiful. I love the Pacific Northwest. Washington State is gorgeous. But, you know, when it's not raining, Hi, Neil and Elizabeth. They're probably listening to this. And it's a beautiful place. No income tax state. Also, Washington State. That's fantastic. But, you know, all things considered, Nevada, especially Las Vegas, has a pretty darn good formula. Now, I've long hated Las Vegas because, you know, you think of Las Vegas as the strip, right? The casinos, the hotels, the big hotels, all of that craziness. And by the way, a bit of trivia for you listeners. Do you know that the Las Vegas Strip, yes, just the Las Vegas Strip area, not all of Las Vegas, not all of Nevada, just the Las Vegas Strip area has more hotel rooms than the entire, you ready? You ready for this? This is a big piece of amazing trivia I just learned. I took a little helicopter ride over the Las Vegas Strip one night. It was pretty incredible with all those lights, amazing views. And one of the things they said on the helicopter ride is they said that the Las Vegas Strip has more hotel rooms than the entire continent of Europe. Wow. Talk about capitalism. Oh my God. That's insane. The Las Vegas Strip, just the Strip, not the city, just the Strip, has more hotel rooms than the entire continent of Europe. That is truly amazing. Well, once you leave the Las Vegas Strip, it's just a normal town. You know, it's a normal city in beautiful areas like Summerlin or some of the areas in Henderson. It's just like being in Scottsdale or Orange County, California. You know, it's like the same deal, basically. So that's what it's like. So I'll tell you more about my move here, but here's the thing. Look, I always seem to find myself being chauffeured in my self-driving car to either Los Angeles or Orange County or San Diego. It always seems like I have to go back there for something to these places, right? And here, the drive is actually about an hour, hour and a half less than it is from Scottsdale, Arizona. I have no income tax here in Arizona. I think it's about 4.6 is the top tax rate versus the Socialist Republic of California at 13.3%. God, if you live in California, please make it your goal to move. It was mine for many years, and it's only improved my life. It's just a wealth creation suggestion that's, you know, it's a pretty good one. Check that out. And in addition to that, invest in real estate. But yeah, so we'll see. I took a big risk moving here. I moved here homeless. I was basically living in hotels. A friend of mine has a vacation Airbnb condo here that I was living in a little bit and, you know, moving around. It was a big hassle, but I kind of got to audit and try some different hotels here in Las Vegas, which was kind of an interesting experience, but a huge hassle nonetheless. I just took the risk because I kept looking and looking at properties here, and it was just too hard to do it remotely. You know, I took a couple trips back. I kept looking for properties to rent, to buy, to lease. I just thought, I got to be here. If I want to look, I got to be here. So I'm just going to move as a homeless person and live in hotels. And I did that. And I will update you on a future episode as to what I actually did for housing in Las Vegas. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. You might even say it's a little hypocritical. You can be the judge, but I will tell you the real story so you can judge yourself and see how it all fits into a real estate investing and wealth creation plan. So that's coming up on a future episode. I don't want to go too long on this one because we've got our guest who's going to talk to us about financing with private equity financing your real estate investments. So let's go ahead and dive into that. Go to jasonhartman.com, click on events, get your tickets. Early bird pricing for Meet the Masters. We got another fantastic event planned for you. It's in Irvine, California, Orange County, Southern California. Again, not at the same hotel. We're trying a new hotel in Irvine. We're looking forward to having you there in January. Be sure to get your tickets ASAP because people are registering fast. The room is filling up quickly. And as you know, the price escalates as the room starts to fill. So be sure you get that. This is our signature event, our annual event, Meet the Masters of Income Property Investing. Go and register for that. Get your tickets right away. Let's go to our guest and talk about some creative private equity financing for your real estate investments. Here we go. So all of you investors know that there are tremendous opportunities to invest right now. And one of the reasons there are so many great opportunities is that it is harder for your tenants who are would-be home buyers. They would probably, many of them would like to own a home. It's harder for them to get financing. And we've been in this weird environment ever since the Great Recession where we have very, very low rates, historically low interest rates, but the lending market is relatively tight. And that pendulum is always swinging back and forth throughout the decades and throughout the years. And one of the nice things that's happened is that there's a whole new source of lending that we've talked about on the shows a bit, but maybe not as in-depth as we're going to today with our guest. And that is private equity lending that is portfolio lending, meaning the loans are kept. They're not sold off to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're not sold off to any secondary market necessarily. They could be, but you know, that's not the intent. And our guest will talk a little bit more about that. But this is an interesting new source. And in the old days, I'll just tell you, it was either get your typical Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, what's called agency financing for a property when you're investing. And those rates were always the best rates because they're propped up by a fake distorted market with the government in there, right? And that's one of the cool things about real estate in the United States. It's really been subsidized since the Great Depression 7 decades ago. And then at the opposite end of the spectrum, there was hard money financing, which was very, very expensive. But now there's this sort of middle market, the private equity market. And that's what we're going to talk about today, where there are some phenomenal opportunities for investors, especially those investors who want to go big and build really large portfolios. You have a lot of flexibility to do that. So I want to welcome our guest, and that is Courtney. Courtney spoke at our conference that we had a couple of months ago in Scottsdale, Arizona. Courtney, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Good. It's good to have you on. And tell us a little bit about, what is private equity lending? Explain that to the listeners, if you would.
So I would say with private equity lending is we're taking a more common sense underwriting approach to people that are real estate investor centric. So their main business is doing real estate loans. And when you go to someone like a Fannie or Freddie agency, they're looking at your personal debt to income ratios to qualify you. And then when we qualify you, it's all based upon the property income as well as some personal underwriting factors. So I would say that's the main difference between the regular government agency sponsor programs and then our private equity side lending. We really know the investors inside and out, and we tailor a program that fits their needs versus having the financial side make a loan and then it does not fit their needs.
Now, your company is one of the biggest players in this world of private equity lending. So describe what you mean. Like, where do you get the money to lend? And give us some reference point as to the size and volume of business your company does.
So we've been in this space for over 5 years, and we just launched our long-term product about a year and a half ago. And our money comes from secondary financing based upon capital markets. That's Wall Street-backed hedge fund money. So that's what is backing us to be able to originate these loans. And we're getting ready to go to securitization with over a $250 million securitization for this rental 30 product. This is our buy and hold loan. So it's secondary financing that is not Fannie or Freddie, but it's hedge fund-backed where they're looking for a return on their investment, and from those dollar amounts, then that's what helped us place those loan volumes for people that are looking for investor financing.
Okay, so in other words, there are these hedge funds out there that go out and raise money to invest in various things, as hedge funds do, and then those hedge funds go and look for places to put that money, and one of those places is with a company like yours to loan it out to investors on real estate deals. And basically, you were an early player. I mean, at your company, one of the bigger players in this market, you were like employee number 3 or number 8 or something, I believe you said, right?
Yes, I'm employee number 3 with Lehman One Capital, correct.
Wow, yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, so you've been in it. You know, it's not that old of an industry, really, but I guess by today's world, 5 years is, you know, you've been in business a while nowadays. You know, you used to,
yes.
But in the world of internet years, it, you know, it's like dog years. It's like, yeah, 1 for 7. It's like 35 years, really.
definitely.
So you've got this money to lend. Tell us about some of the rather attractive programs. And listeners should understand, of course, rates and terms are always subject to change. We're just talking about what's available today. By the time you listen to this, it may well have changed, either better or worse. We don't know. But give us an example for a buy and hold investor like our listeners. What kind of financing do they have available to them?
So our loan product, which is called a Rental 30, is a 30-year fixed, fully amortized loan. This loan is made out to some type of entity, whether it's an LLC, S corporation, whatever type business entity they want to make the loan in. That is the key category there, because this loan does not show up on their personal credit report. It's a true business loan, so it falls on the spectrum of being a commercial loan. And it's made for them to buy single-family residential properties, 1 to 4 units. They can do single properties, just like if they were going to buy a regular Fannie or Freddie home, or a real bonus is they can do portfolio homes. I had a guy that just called me out of the day out of Florida and say, hey, I have a 1031 exchange. I need to place $2 million. And so he's able to buy 10 or 15 houses at one time in a portfolio type loan using us for leverage. So those are the type of financing that we're providing for people. Our rate is a little bit higher than your normal conventional financing. So you're not seeing the 3 to 5%. Our rate is between 6.5 and 8.5, depending on someone's credit score and the amount of leverage they take out on the loans.
Right, but that's not that bad. I mean, compared to the old world, before companies like yours were around, you know, it was either Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, agency-type conventional financing, or hard money. That was it. There was nothing in between.
And now they're paying paying double digits on the hard money side.
Yeah, you know, they're paying 12, 15% interest, and that's insane. So that's not bad. Okay, so give us those rates again. Where are they?
They're between 6.5 and 8.5% right now.
Okay, so 6.5 to 8.5%. And what does that program look like? If someone's just buying, can they just buy one house, or do they need to buy several and finance several at once?
They can buy one house. So we will provide 75% leverage on the purchase price or appraised value, whichever is less, on their product. So that when they're doing a purchase, they always have to put at least 25% down. They can put more down, the rate will get better, but if they put the minimum of 25% down on the property, we provide that type of leverage for them. And the same with the portfolio.
Okay, so hang on. Before you go to portfolio, and we'll kind of dive into what that means, portfolio, when you say that in a moment. But they're buying a $100,000 house. They put down $25,000. What is their rate going to be?
So if they're taking out a max leverage of 75% and they have a 740 credit score above, they're looking at a 7.4 rate if they're taking out the max leverage. And then it ticks up or down based upon their credit score and the leverage they decide to take out.
Okay, so what is the term of that? Is it a 20-year amortization, 30-year? What is it?
That's a 30-year fixed, fully amortized loan.
Tell us what that financing is like with 30% down or 35% or what are the breakpoints? How do you get it down to 6.5%, in other words?
So if you want a 6.5% leverage, that means you're putting down 40% or more on the product to be able to get down the lowest rate at 6.5.
Okay, so 6.5% at what credit score with 40% down?
That can be at a 630. That can be at our minimum 630.
Oh, wow. That's pretty easy for most people listening. So your FICO score only has to be 630. And if you put 40% down, you'll get the lowest rate of 6.5%, right?
Correct.
Okay. And tell us about the amortization on that again.
It's still a 30-year fixed, fully amortized loan.
And it's not due sooner? There's no balloon or there's no adjustment?
No, there's no balloon. There's no adjustments.
So that's a straight 30-year amortization, huh?
That is correct.
That's pretty phenomenal. And do you do business in every state?
We do business. There's some geographic places that we won't cover, so I can cover those quickly. We land throughout the U.S., places we do not cover. North Dakota, South Dakota, Maine, Hawaii, and Alaska. Those are the places we do not cover.
Okay, well, we don't cover those either, so we're not in any of those markets, so that's fine with us. Okay, all right. So that's pretty great. Now, what about people who are either foreign nationals investing, you know, maybe they live in Europe or, you know, they're Australian or whatever, and they want to buy U.S. real estate, or IRA buyers? What about those categories?
So, yes, we, with our foreign buyers and our IRA, I'll take it in the gamut where you look at both. They're both non-recourse loans because they're a foreign national, and we require a minimum of 30% down from our foreign nationals with this loan. And then as well with IRA, it has to be a non-recourse product, and they can put down 25%, but the rate is adjusted a little bit higher, 50 basis point higher, based upon that loan because it's a non-recourse loan.
Okay, so 50 basis points leaves them at what, 7.9% then?
So it'll be at 7% to 9%, that'll be capped off at 9%.
Okay, so that's pretty high at 9%. Then you're getting into like, that's just too
high.
I agree. Okay, so foreign nationals can get financing through you, and how much do they need to put down? Just be really clear on that so they understand.
A minimum of 30% down.
Okay, 30% down, and what is the rate going to be for a foreign national on 30% down?
It'll be between 7 and 8%.
Okay, can they bring that rate down by putting more money down?
The lowest it can go is 7%.
Okay, so it's 0.5% higher, just like is that. Okay, got it. And the IRA buyers can put as little as 25% down, but that rate's kind of high. Where's the sweet spot for IRA buyers that want to buy it inside a self-directed IRA?
So if they're taking out the max leverage of 75%, their rate is going to be right around 8 to 8.25.
Okay. Can they use less leverage and get that rate down?
They can use less leverage and get that rate down, then, as well as like the foreign buyers, the lowest we can go on the IRA is 7%.
Okay, still not bad, not bad. This is pretty good, folks. Okay, so Courtney, does your company ever loan to an individual as a person, or do you always need the borrower to set up an entity, even if they're just buying one house? Do they need an LLC to be created to do that?
Yes, we do need some type of entity to set up. These are not personal loans. So if we made a loan to someone personally, based upon the new Dodd-Frank loans, that would be fall in the realm of us doing predatory lending, because these loans are for business purposes only and not for someone to live in those properties. So we have to make those loans out to some type of entity.
So you see, folks, how once again the government has overcomplicated everybody's life. Because of the Dodd-Frank legislation, everybody in the marketplace has to react to that, and they got to do special things. And, you know, this is just the way it always works with government. So, yeah, no surprise there. Okay, so you do need to set up an LLC. Talk to us about portfolios. What do you really mean by that? I mean, most of our clients buy multiple investment properties. You know, when it comes to your company and financing them, what do you mean by portfolio?
When we say portfolio, what we're looking at is if someone is buying two or more houses at one time. So they go to a certain turnkey rental provider and they say, hey, I want to buy five houses at one time instead of one. We can portfolio those five so they're not incurring all the origination charges on each property, or they're not occurring all the closing costs where it would be if they were buying separate properties at one time. So they can portfolio and put five properties or two or three into one loan at one time.
Okay, and what does that really do for them? Do they get better rates? Is it just easier mechanically to do? And it's a blanket loan, right? They're just getting one loan where they just have one payment for, say 50 properties. Say they want to buy 50 properties at once. They just have one mortgage?
Yeah, so it's almost the functionality of it is they have one mortgage payment that's due to them based upon that portfolio instead of a mortgage payment on each separate houses. And they also save on the origination charge on the whole portfolio versus origination charge over 30 or 50 properties separately.
Okay, so what is the origination charge? What are they saving?
The origination charge is 2%. So if you do 2% over 50 properties, it's definitely going to be more than 2% on a portfolio of all houses at one time.
Can you give an example of that?
Yes. So let's say they're buying a property for $150,000.
Okay. You can just make it $100,000 to make it simple.
So if they were buying a property for $100,000, then their origination charge would be $3,500 minimum. So if they did two properties at $100,000, then their origination charge is going to be $4,000.
Oh, only $500 more. Okay, and what if they do 10? That's a $1 million in property value. So they might be financing, say, $750,000 of that. What would their origination charge be then?
So we do $1 million. Do that times 0.2%. Then the origination charge is $20 million.
Not 20 million.
I mean, 20,000. I'm sorry.
Okay, right. Big difference. Okay, but is that for 1 million in amount financed or property value purchased?
That's in 1 million in amount financed.
Okay, so in that example, it might be, 1.5 million in property value. Okay, got it.
Correct.
Okay, good. So how does this work on these blanket loans? Because if someone buys 10 properties, for example, and say 3 years pass and they decide, I want to sell two of these properties, but I want to keep the other eight, what do they do then? How do you handle that?
They can sell two of those properties outside of the portfolio. And then we do have a prepayment penalty, so it'll be a prepayment penalty on that principal balance of that home inside of that portfolio. So at year three, it would be 3%. So we have a prepayment penalty that steps down 1% per year up to 5 years. So year one is 5%, year two is 4%, year three is 3%, year two is 2%, year five is 1%.
And then nothing after that, right?
There's nothing after that, correct.
Okay. So this really is designed to buy and hold for at least 5 years, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Oh, okay, good. That's okay. Tell us more about the portfolio and how that all works.
So a borrower would come to us and say they got a deal on the properties where they're buying it at $1 million for seven properties. Then it works just like a regular loan. They would just have to put the 25% down or whatever amount of leverage they want to take out to achieve the best available rate. The thing that happens with the portfolio is we take a total value of the portfolio itself and not each individual property inside of the portfolio.
Okay. And how about documentation? I mean, it's a lot easier to get your loans than it is regular Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans that people are always complaining about, jumping through all those hoops and doing all that paperwork.
Definitely. So for us, what we're looking at to pre-qualify someone is we need 2 months of banking statements or a quarterly statement of their IRA, driver's license, and a copy of 1 year tax returns.
Only 1 year. Okay, great. That's easy. All right, what else? And then you are going to run credit. You do use personal credit.
Yes, we will run credit.
But once they get these loans, the loans do not show up on their credit report, even though you check credit.
Correct.
To make the loan, right?
Correct.
Okay. And what if they did some strategic defaults and had a foreclosure in the past? I think it's 4 years. They can't have any in 4 years, right?
They cannot have it in 4 years, correct.
Okay. So it might still show up on a credit report if those stay for seven, but as long as it's not in the last four, they can still get the loan through you.
Correct.
Okay. And one of the other problems with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac agency conventional financing is that you're limited to 10 loans per person. So a married couple could conceivably get 20 loans. With you, there's no limit at all, is there?
There's no limit. Correct.
So you can buy 200 houses, 1,000 houses, doesn't matter, right?
Correct.
What else should people know?
And we're not calculating. I always get asked this question, why do you need my tax returns? Well, we just want to make sure you don't have any tax liens against you as a person. We're not calculating personal debt-to-income ratios. So as a real estate investor, we understand you have a lot of write-offs on your tax returns, so we're not calculating personal debt-to-income ratios.
Okay, good. Good stuff. Just anything else you want people to know?
I feel like we give the best customer service that they need, and any questions or concerns is definitely here for us to answer those, and your investment counselor can answer those as well.
Fantastic. Well, contact our investment counselors through jasonhartman.com. They can put you in touch with Courtney and some of this alternative financing. Of course, we have outlets and sources. And Courtney, you met them when you spoke at our event in Phoenix that do conventional financing as well. And the idea, investors, is if you can get the conventional financing, get that first, get your first 10 properties in your portfolio, and then go on to something like we've talked about today. This is what you do for property 11 through infinity. But the first 10, you do want to get the conventional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type financing because the rates are so good. But after that, this is a fantastic opportunity. Or if you're a foreign national or you're buying inside a self-directed IRA or you've already got more than 10 properties, this is great. You know, one question we did not ask is that we have a lot of listeners and clients who are sitting there with portfolios that they purchased maybe with cash during the Great Recession. And they want to refi those, do a refinance, take that cash and buy more properties. Talk to us a little bit about refinancing, if you would, before you go.
Yes, we would love to help those people. As long as they've had those properties for at least 1 year of seasoning, we can refinance them up to 75% of the present day value of those properties. And they can pull cash out.
So they can do cash out refi, 75% LTV or loan to value. And what will their rate be on that cash out refi?
It'll be right at 7.4.
7.4. And does that depend? That depends on their FICO score, right?
That depends on their FICO score. And they choose to take out less leverage than 75%, then the rate will go down.
Okay, just like you said before. And are they the same rates as the purchase money loans, or is refi, are they priced differently?
They're the same rates.
So, yeah, that's nice and simple. I love that. You know, one other thing that a lot of our listeners may not know, and I only somewhat recently became aware of this myself, is that there's a lot of different FICO scoring models. Most people don't know this. I almost hate to admit I did not know this until somewhat recently. Do you know which FICO you're using, by the way? Are you using FICO 8 as your model, or do you even know? I don't know if you know this or not.
I'm not sure we know. I know we take the median score and we pull it from all three bureaus.
Yeah, that's there, but that's a difference. That's the bureaus. There are three bureaus to pull it from, but there's also different FICO scoring models. And you know what? I'm going to bring an expert on a future episode to talk about the different FICO scoring models. This gets rather wonky, but it's kind of interesting. So we'll do that on another episode, folks. Courtney, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, Jason.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.